This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with essentially the Weird Sisters. You are listening to Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin, and today we are going to be reviewing The Tragedy of Macbeth, written and directed by a solo Coen, Joel Coen, and starring Denzel Washington and Frances McDormand.
I've been excited about two different Shakespeare-based things this week. This is the second. I was so excited to hear that there's going to be an adaptation of Macbeth and so excited to know that Denzel was going to be playing Macbeth himself. And I have to say, it delivered for me on many, many fronts. I don't think it's the easiest film for most people to watch, as we shall hear very shortly. But I was fulfilled while also acknowledging that it isn't perfect.
Yeah, this movie was one of the most frustrating things I've ever had to sit through. Like, it's almost 2 hours of nothing that I could understand. Like, my brain was constantly playing catch up because I could understand the words, but I couldn't understand the language. But then the scenes were rushing along. But then my brain would be like, oh, that's what they said like five scenes ago. And that's what it meant. The thing is, though, I wanted to love this movie so much because I was hyped for it. And I was watching like the trailers and stuff look beautiful. And it's A24. And you know they deliver like on all fronts. So I wanted so much to love this movie. I appreciate this movie for what it is. It's visually stunning and stuff. It's a huge production. But if I'm going to be honest, I did not enjoy it at all. Like, I struggled to get through it. The first time I tried to watch it was like 15 minutes. Then I skipped to like Boba Fett or something. Then I came back to it the next day just to continue. But yeah, did not enjoy it. Appreciate it for being like a huge, massive production, arty thing.
I can kind of, I mean, I relate to that in the sense that as I was watching it, I had a feeling that, that you might be having this experience specifically. I was like, oh no, we proposed this. Arvin's going to have to watch this. But the other part of it that I was thinking is that I don't think this is for everybody, honestly. It takes something. I know that there's always this debate over, you know, doing Shakespeare in the original language or adapting it. And there's always a choice that's going to be made. I will say that I was kind of blown away by the film while also acknowledging that it's not perfect. So I can completely see how it's a frustrating experience. And I totally get that. But I was blown away by it. Macbeth is one of my favorite plays of Shakespeare's. The first one that I read actually in its entirety. And so because of that, it's always had kind of a special place for me. And so watching this and again, knowing that freaking Denzel Washington is going to be playing Macbeth and Frances McDormand is going to be playing Lady Macbeth, I came into it really hyped. And from that perspective, it delivered. I think the performances were kind of immense. And I also agree that the visuals of it were just something else, which is something I hope we can talk about a little bit later on.
The performances were great. And I think it really drove a lot of the film for me. And not just Denzel and Frances McDormand, but also, some of the supporting cast that were really good. Alex Hassel as Ross, who's not a character that is actually huge in the play, but has been sort of expanded in really interesting ways in this film to be a little bit more political and to feel a little bit more Game of Thrones-ish, and I really liked it. Corey Hawkins as Macduff was really good as well. Brendan Gleeson, not there for too long, but very effective in his role. It was just, it's that kind of movie, bravura performances, looks great, based on Shakespeare, in Shakespearean language. I would recommend turning the subtitles on. Even I needed it, even though I know the play. It got me thinking about exactly what works when you adapt Shakespeare. Does it ever fully work to stick to the original? Is that something that works better in a play? Because in many ways, this felt to me like a play. It felt to me like a play that had been staged in a kind of meta space that's both theatre and set. And I liked it, but I can see that maybe some people may not.
I turned the subtitles on. It made it worse because now I was reading and trying to listen at the same time. So it like all senses, you know, firing at the just trying to comprehend what is happening. The thing is, I think Joel Cohen and the people making the movie knew that the language would be a problem for maybe 80% of the people watching or who would tap into this movie. And I think that they put a lot of emphasis on body language and physical language to make sure that the things that they were saying were not as important as what you were seeing on screen. So you don't exactly have to know the language to enjoy the film, right? Because as long as you're watching it and paying attention, it checks out. Like, you will know what's happening. It's a simple story from start to finish, A to Z. But the problem with it was, unlike foreign language films where you don't understand, so you're just reading subtitles, this movie, I knew the English. Like, I could understand what they were saying, but it's just a matter of like rearranging the words after they say it and trying to make sense of what they were talking about. Because like I said, the subtitles didn't help. So for me, that was a stretch. But the visuals, again, saved it for me every single time. Like, if I didn't know what exactly they were saying or going on about, I would just look at crows or paddy fields or something and go like, ooh, that looks really pretty. And I'm just going to keep staring until I figure out what's happening.
The staginess and the way in which they played with the visuals was something I really enjoyed, because I think the way that they did it was, yes, it is, it's clearly a stage, right? There are shadows on things. The backgrounds look remarkably static. Like, they're really playing with ideas of light and shadow, but that allows them to transition in really immense ways from scene to scene. So I really like that, in the way that if you're watching it as a play, you would have to watch things wheeling off and on. You'd have to watch people entering from the side. In this case, you have a focus on a single spotlight, which suddenly becomes a pond. You have a focus on, you know, an open window, which suddenly becomes a moor. Like there are all these different ways in which they played with the visual language, and in which they changed around the idea of how you think this could look, that I really enjoyed. And that goes into the costuming as well. So just before we get back into the language and the performances of all of it, just on the basis of what you're looking at, when we say it's a good-looking movie, I think it's a little bit difficult to describe because it's not stereotypically beautiful, right? The castles don't really look like castles. No one wants to sleep in those bedrooms. They're awful. But you watch it and you're like, man, this is really like such a cool imagining, visual imagining of Macbeth and the setting of Macbeth.
We haven't mentioned it's all in black and white, and I think that's important to say.
Yes, it's important to say.
It is all in black and white, which adds to, I think, this film is a huge mood. If Macbeth had a mood, this is what it would be. Those, you know, long dark nights in the Scottish moors, people creeping around shadows, you know, plotting murder, washing blood off your hands while hallucinating. I mean, if you literalize that into a mood, this is what it would be. And that's kind of why I loved it. But I also think that that's why, like, the first 15 to 20 minutes, you'll either love it or it'll lose you, because even I struggled with the first 20 minutes. Once you sort of get into Denzel and Frances McDormand and them just chewing scenery, it keeps you going. But I think I talked to you about this, Armin. The first 15 minutes, I also started watching it much later at night than I should have. I started wondering whether I wanted to just stop and continue the next day, because it starts feeling, you know, all that grey and black and dreariness and people talking really slow and soft in language that you need to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. It is quite a lot. But oh, once you're in it, and I mean, I think at this point we have to bring up the Weird Sisters, the witches, and played so amazingly well and terrifyingly well by Catherine Hunter, who plays, and the interpretation of the witches is really interesting too, because it's almost like it's not, it's both three witches and not, and it's all played by the same actress, a lot of visual trickery, contortionism, is that what it's called? Weird shapes with her body. It felt like performance art. So there's a lot there to just keep you interested, but not necessarily in a pleasurable way.
This movie is like, you know how we sometimes say that movies are made by algorithm? Like, that's what Netflix does, right? This movie is like made by awards checklist because everything about it is so prestige. Like, if you see, it's in black and white. It's shot in a weird aspect ratio. It has Denzel and Frances McDormand. It's Joel Cohen. It's A24. It's on Apple. You know, it's got all that thing attached to it. It's as if they saw like a note saying that if you do all these things, then you're going to be considered the most prestigious Oscar-winning, award-worthy movie there is. And it checks out. Like, it doesn't fail on those aspects. Like, it really is. Like, if a movie deserved to be in the top 10 or top 5 or whatever they're going to do this year for Best Picture contenders, this movie should be in it. But it's also one of those things that, like, when we talk about Oscar bait, this is Oscar bait at its best, I think.
So we're talking today about The Tragedy of Macbeth, which was written and directed by Joel Cohen. It is starring Denzel Washington, Frances McDormand, a whole host of people we met. Mentioned Catherine Hunter already. Let us know, have you watched The Tragedy of Macbeth? It is available on Apple TV. Did you like it? Do you like Shakespeare adaptations as a whole? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
He should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow. And tomorrow and tomorrow. Creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out. Out, brief candle.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. And together we're reviewing The Tragedy of Macbeth, which was written and directed by Joel Cohen and liked more or less by two-thirds of us here in the studio. I wanted to return to Catherine Hunter and the Weird Sisters because I think that if you get nothing else from the film, that performance and the very specific way in which it is shot, because it's one person playing three, really. And the ways in which the movie tricks your eye or does different things to show you how that could be, makes her voice strange, sums up everything else that they do in the film. I think her performance is a microcosm of the entire movie.
She could also be a horror movie on her own and it would be immensely effective. Another A24 one. I mean, I'm plumping for it. I think they should
go ahead and just make
with S in the brackets.
Yes, of course.
No, but she was so great. I don't think I've actually watched her in many other things because she's not someone I fully recognize. But she was so great. And I think for a set of characters who are so iconic in Macbeth, you know, the whole double-double toil and trouble and so on, figuring out how to visualize them in a movie like this without resorting to just your standard, okay, they're witches or something perhaps that looks a little too magical and unlikely.
Mm-hmm. This with the pointy hat and stuff.
That would have been something, yes. I thought it was so clever how they did it. And it set the tone for everything else. It set the tone because you see them so early on, the weirdness and the uncomfortable feeling that you get watching everything else, they or she sets the tone for it.
You know what was weird, though? This movie, like we mentioned, has Denzel Washington and Frances McDormand. And their performance was so, so good. Like you said, they chewed scenery like every time. But because they are so good and because their default setting is to be at an 11 at all times, they didn't stick out for me. So when watching it, I kind of expected them to be good because I'm like, yeah, it's Frances McDormand and it's Denzel Washington. Like, what are you going to... Even if they performed at a 5, it would be better than 99% of most people in Hollywood today. So after the movie ended and I was like sort of thinking about it, I was like, those were really good performances and they did so much and I should have enjoyed it a lot more. And I think I kind of do now when I think about it as the days go by. But during that time, it was so baked into the production and everything is so good looking and so amped up that they didn't stick out as much as I thought they were going to when watching the trailers. And I don't know if you guys felt the same way or not.
it's hard for me to come into this fresh, because I think from the first moment that I knew Denzel Washington was going to be playing Macbeth, I was just dying of excitement, I feel like. You know, I just wanted to see how it would be, in the same way that Frances McDormand taking on, you know, one of Shakespeare's best female characters was also really exciting to me. And because there are very specific, you know, screw your courage to the sticking place, like there are lines in Macbeth that you know they're going to hit. And I was just waiting for it to happen. And when it does, I was like, oh, brava! You know, I just find it very hard to answer that question, because I find it hard to separate my expectations, I think, from what eventually happened on screen.
I think what stuck out for me were the things I didn't expect. And so I found very pleasurable in the performance aspect. The fact that Denzel's Macbeth actually is almost gentle and soft in most of his scenes. From the beginning, he is not forceful. He's not. He doesn't speak loudly. He's not pushy. Even his moments of guilt or paranoia are almost underplayed. And I love that. There was a sort of regalness to his performance that made me sad. It made me sad to see what he eventually became. And the ending, when finally he descends into full-on like megalomania, and then what happens, in case it's a spoiler. The ending is so dramatic that it sort of builds up really well. So I like that. One thing I loved is Macbeth and Lady Macbeth are younger in the original play, or at least they're coded to seem younger. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're both played by actors in their 60s added a kind of real world-weary tragedy to the film that I really loved. So it's all of these things, which actually are not so much about the performances, but I think the things that you don't expect, or the things that even twist what Macbeth is, that I enjoyed.
There's a kind of a grit to it, right? Even on their faces and stuff, and the way it's shot.
I think it also means that the tragedy is almost that much greater because he has spent a greater amount of time being a good person, a good cousin to the king, all these different things. And, you know, the whole idea of a Shakespearean tragedy rests on whether or not, you know, the corruption of a good person, this idea of whether a good person would have been corrupted if he had never encountered the three sisters. And the way that Denzel plays it, with the classic level of nobility and charm and grace that you would expect from Denzel Washington in any performance, plus that world weariness and age and tiredness that he brings in, is something. I also actually enjoyed the blind casting in general quite a bit, simply because I think it's nice to see Black actors in Shakespeare not being Othello. Like, that in and of itself is something to enjoy.
Can I be nerdy for a second and talk about the aspect ratio? Because that's why people listen to pop culture podcasts, for discussion about aspect ratios. I understand the creative choice to shoot in that aspect ratio, the square-ish sort of thing. But they always knew this movie was going to come out on a streaming service. It's an Apple production. And I know that aspect ratio is supposed to serve, like, it's more IMAX-ish, so it's supposed to expand vertically. And when you watch it in a cinema, so you see them, like, towering above you, and they're huge figures. So it's kind of a shock to your, you know, it's like visual, it's a visual shock. I don't know why they shot it like that for TV, because it was going to be on a smaller screen. There's no towering effect. It just feels like your TV is weirdly cropped, and now it's even more limited than it actually is. Like, I get the photography sense of it. Like, I know it's supposed to look like a photograph, like each and every frame. But it, for me, it kind of loses the, it lost the effect, because you knew it was not going to be on a big screen. So why?
So for me, I loved it because it looked like a photograph, one, especially those beautiful black and white scenes, sets rather, but also because it looked like a stage, and I kind of loved it.
That makes sense.
I liked everything about the film that removed itself from reality, I think. That made the whole idea of it being stagey, of creating that distance from itself and the audience. I liked all the decisions that they made that led up to that, whether it's the black and white, the aspect ratio, or just the general weirdness and tenseness that lives within the
so
film.
So much weirdness.
Yes, it's a lot. It's a lot of birds. have to say that. It's really a lot of birds. But yeah, I also understand that for us, maybe watching it at home on the smaller screen would have affected that. There's just something else that I wanted to bring up that we haven't mentioned yet, and that's the pace of the film. I think, Arvind, you mentioned earlier on about the it being fairly fast paced and that being perhaps a bit of a problem when language is itself a bit of a problem. But I actually really liked how muscular the film felt. It feels as if we dive right in and it's like, okay, war, now this. And so you move very quickly from thing to thing. And I found that very enjoyable because it is actually quite a short play. And I like that, and the adaptation of it hewed to the spirit of that, that it is a play in which things happen very quickly. I really like the pacing.
I'm actually glad this film didn't go for longer than an hour and 40 minutes. I don't think even God, I could.
No.
Yeah.
By the time it ended, I was like, okay, I'm really glad I watched this. I'm glad it's done.
Would you recommend this to anyone? Like for anyone to watch casually? Because I don't know if anyone wants to see great visuals or a movie unlike anything they've ever, it's not unlike anything, maybe like five other movies that look like this in modern cinema, then I would recommend it. I don't know if I would recommend it to a casual moviegoer just to watch on a weekend. Because for example, like I'm just, you know, the opening when the witches start talking, I was like, okay, they're speaking in tongue because that's what witches do. And then everyone started to speak like that. And I'm like, oh no. I'm like, oh no, no. Like, this is not tongue. This is just how they speak here. And that was a problem. So I don't know.
I would recommend it to Shakespeare lovers and film nerds.
So I only know one person that I would have recommended this film to. And that's you, more or less, just you, Sharmila.
Oh, I thought you were pointing to Arvind and I was for a moment like shocked, but yes, me.
Yeah, no, I actually think in my personal life, the only person I could think of who I would have like honest to God recommended this movie to is you. And that's because we do a book show and we do a film show. So this idea of a Shakespeare nerd plus a film nerd, you know, yes. I do think that there's genuinely stuff to enjoy. I think that if you want to become a director or a filmmaker, there's a lot in here visually in terms of the editing, the way things are framed. There's a lot to appreciate. Casual film watcher, maybe not so much. Yeah.
Spare them. Spare them.
Ayo. Ayo. Speaking in tongues. Spare them from the listening to people.
That was very Shakespearean, by the way. Spare them.
In
pause,
the back,
spare
right?
them.
Spare them. Bear, exit. Anyway, we've been talking today about the tragedy of Macbeth. We'd like to hear from you. Have you seen it? Are you keen to? Do you like Shakespeare adaptations? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio, write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.